This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Let's get to some of the news. Let's find out what else is going on out there. Time for a Dawn Stenzel and Big 3 at 9.
It's the Big 3 at 9 on Kale and Company.
Big 3 at 9 this Tuesday morning, October 1st, looking at what's happening. So, number one, we have a new policy at the mall. The Willow Grove Mall will have a new parental supervision policy for visitors 18 and under starting today.
Interesting. Took my daughters there last fall.
So, under this new policy, any visitor under the age of 18, so obviously 17 and under, will have to be joined by a parent or legal guardian who's at least 21 years old Monday through Saturday starting at 5 p.m. and on Sunday starting at 3 p.m. The policy applies to the Willow Grove Park, not just the mall, the parking lots, the garages, the mall hall walkways, and any corridor leading to the shopping center except stores with outdoor entrances. And so that also affects people taking public transportation, I will add. So mall security, they're saying they are going to enforce this policy. So if you don't show ID, if you can't prove with ID, they can boot you out. You can be charged with trespassing.
Wow.
You know, I always
strict policy.
Yeah, I always look at this from two different vantage points. You have your big chain corporate stores, but there are, you know, the mom and pop stores that still exist in a mall, even though it's a dying concept because the rent is astronomical. But I don't blame the malls for doing this. I mean, even when malls were a thing in the 90s, and even when I worked at one in the early 2000s in college, when I worked at Foot Locker, the amount of people that are in a mall that have no intent on buying anything, and I'm not just talking about window shoppers, but and this goes across the spectrum of demographics of age-wise, too, from the young punks that are there on a Friday night doing nothing. Remember back in the day, like when Stalker would go to the arcade at the mall and he'd have his little beanie on and his skateboard and causing issues.
Why are you cornering me out?
I could totally see that from you.
100% happened.
Yes.
At the mall you worked at.
Hey, yeah, exactly right. And then you have, you know, and they're not bothering anybody, so don't take this the wrong way, but, you know, you have the older mall walkers that are in there getting their exercise. I used to just look around and be like, all these people here, and nobody has a damn interest in buying a single thing.
I think it's a shame. I'm looking at this the other way, that we can't trust. I mean, think about, like, what you just said, Nick, when we were growing up, like, malls were a staple. That's where we hung out. You know what I mean? There's nothing else to do.
Yeah.
So we hung out in the mall. Our parents used to drop us off. We used to hang out there. And, it was a source of, you know, fellowship, I guess. You know what I mean? And now you can't even trust kids to do this stuff.
And I'm not saying bad foot traffic killed malls. It's direct-to-consumer merchandise that killed malls. There's no reason to go to a mall when you can have it dropped off on your porch. But you're right. It is sad that it's come to this.
Yeah.
There's a nostalgia to malls. Is there not? I go into a mall every now and then. I'm like, the glory days.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of over that. I go into malls. I'm just like, okay, let's get what we need and get the hell out of here.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? I don't like... There's a lot of nonsense in malls anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, malls used to have good shops. And now there's... I don't know. There's just a bunch of crap there.
Well, I mean, and think about it. Think about how bad that must be. Because, you know, these little knick-knack crappy stores, they can't afford to pay the rent that they're being charged.
Yeah.
And they're probably, like, being given a discount compared to, like, you know, if a K Jewelers would set up shop in there. They don't have the kind of cash flow to pay for that.
JK13 on the YouTube chat says that the Plymouth Meeting Mall was the first indoor mall in the country. Is that true?
I don't know. I only live 5 minutes from there. I've been there. That's a ghost town.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not a ton in there, right?
No, a lot of vacancies. Willow Grove is in much better shape. Obviously, King of Prussia is the crown jewel.
Well, the Morristown Mall, I think during COVID, they used it as like a, like you could get like shots and stuff there, mm-hmm. right? I don't know.
Well, but even King of Prussia, Dawn, you've had stories in the news for 2 years yep. about the accidents and the violence and the crime that is all the way out in King of Prussia.
Yeah, smash and grabs, yeah. especially at the, remember the Gucci store? And yeah. even though they have a security guard at the door and they only let so many people in at a time, mm-hmm. they had people assault those security guards and grab stuff and yep. run. They've had attempted carjackings.
Yep.
And I think for Willow Grove Mall, they've had some crime and attempted carjackings. And remember that... the young girl, she was 12, 13 years old, and the guy tried to grab her,
mm-hmm.
and she fought back, thank God.
Yep.
But I think they've had some incidents where they want to keep people safe and make it more family-friendly.
Right.
And
right.
so this is an effort to say, hey, you come in the mall, we have security, and we're going to keep families safe and prioritize you.
Yeah. But it's got to be more than Paul Blart Mall Cop, right? Like, you just can't have, like, you know... With all due respect to mall cops. You got a guy looking like Chris Christie walking around. Who's he going to deter?
It's a sin.
I mean, you think of the malls in this area that are still
yeah.
King of Prussia, yeah, you
wanna
Willow take, Grove.
Yeah, you want to take your daughter for a pretzel meeting. And a Dairy Queen Blizzard? You can't do it anymore.
Are there any malls, Morristown Mall, are there any malls still open in Jersey?
That's a good
Yeah, the Macy's. Where's that one? It's right over the bridge. Cherry Hill.
Cherry Hill's
the
still
Cherry
open.
Hill
yeah, I think
yeah.
they're still.
There's one in central western Jersey. Bridgewater Mall is a very nice one, or yeah. it used to be. There you go.
Yeah, the Plymouth Meeting Mall that you mentioned, they've tried to reinvent themselves with, you know, they have Shake Shack now. They have a lot of different food places.
Well, that's what the Lehigh Valley Mall did
yeah.
yep. on Route 22 there.
Workout yep. centers.
Yeah. Right. You try to add all those little outside spots
mm-hmm. yep.
and you know, try to get the foot traffic to go inside then.
Yeah.
And it still has Boscov's, which is one of the only privately owned shopping centers in the country, by the way.
Yeah.
Is good old Boscov's still
anchor.
Survives.
Good old anchor stores.
I know.
Though. Love me an anchor store.
Number two, where do I go? Former President Jimmy Carter turning 100 today. Happy birthday. Making him the first American president to reach triple digits.
Not an octogenarian.
No, 20 years past that, sorry, as we've learned at 607.
Yes, yeah, so served in the White House 1977 to 1981 and revered for his post-presidency, not during what happened while he was president, but... Really taught, you know, respected as a person, as a human being, championing human rights, brokering a still standing peace treaty between Egypt and Israel.
You know, we talked about this earlier this morning, the way the media flipped on guys like Romney and Cheney and Bush.
Mm-hmm, true.
Isn't it funny, though? It goes the other way as well, because we've also talked many times on this show how Jimmy Carter is the worst, or Joe Biden's the worst president since Jimmy Carter. But now all of a sudden Jimmy Carter is 99 or he's 100 years old, and we don't really talk about how awful he was. We talk about his life post-presidency. It's interesting as we get close to our expiration date, how all of a sudden people on the other side of the spectrum, they lose their piss and vinegar towards the other party. I don't know if that just shows the humanity and the human side of all of us or what it means, but I figured we would point that out.
I think it's just the media. Anybody who goes against Trump, they love.
Oh, of course.
Everybody loves. It's
right.
just an anti-Trump thing.
Right, but even like this morning, even you, you're like, oh, Jimmy Carter, nice man. It sounds like you want to give, you like you want to pet Jimmy on the head here. You like Jimmy? You have a soft spot for Jimmy?
Me?
No. Yes, you.
No, I think, you know, he's the first president to reach 100, and I think he's, you know, remembered fondly, as in, you know, he and Roslyn, as far as life, marriage, all of that.
What's the age that people reach that everybody's just like, oh, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
They could have been sons of bitches their entire life.
That's my whole point here, yeah.
But it, like, once they reach whatever that age
is. Like 97.
They're always like, oh, he was a good man.
I'll go, once you become an octogenarian, a legit one in the 80s, I think, but here's the ultimate litmus test. If Donald Trump lives to be 96, does anybody ever take the gas Trump? Or will Trump see this until he's dead?
Yes.
Trump will see this after he's dead.
It's true. It's absolutely true. But, I mean, that's what they tried to do to Biden in 2020. After years and years and years of being a political, you know, SOB.
Yeah. Now he's just G-pop.
Oh, he's
pop-pop.
He's like a grandpa.
Yeah.
It's like, when did this happen?
Yeah, you just sit on pop-pop's lap while he sips a scotch and watch the ball game.
What's the age? 855-839-1210. What's the age that people get to?
I think it's in the 80s.
No, yeah. I think it's got to be 90s.
Or when you become no longer seen as a political threat.
Oh, that's true.
Like, once you lose your memory, like Joe, you look at Joe and you're like, an old fuddy dud at this point.
What's also the age where you get to where you stop giving a you know what? Like, you can just walk down
31?
A crowded aisle.
And that's when I stopped giving an F 10 years ago.
Let one go, and
yeah.
It's just like, oh, it's that old man over there. He's just I'm serious. There's an age where you just don't. It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, well, it happens for some of us at younger ages.
Yeah.
So I was looking at health news. It's sort of we have a lot of health news. So number one, we're Breast Cancer Awareness Month. As we begin October, breast cancer continues to rise among younger women. There's a new study talking about that. There's a new study that says that in the United States, researchers are investigating potential human-to-human bird flu transmission. Here we go with the bird flu. And number three, if you have any utensils, kitchen utensils like a spatula or a spoon, and they're that black colored sort of plastic kitchen utensils toys.
Yeah, the one my wife used last night making our turkey and rice combination. Yep, go ahead.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that one my wife used to slap me upside the head.
Well, that too. I've got a point to make, but I'll let you finish.
But they're saying, or they can be used in children's toys or takeout containers, grocery meat. Sometimes it's like on that meat plastic tray. They're now releasing new information, and this is an alert, that they have alarming levels of toxic flame chemicals that are intended as a flame retardant, but these chemicals can leach into the product, and this is a new study saying this, and so that they're very concerned about this, that they can leach into the product and cause all kinds of problems and disease because and they're also hazardous as far as they could catch fire.
And this is the, just so I'm correct with this, this is the black plastic ones, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's anything that uses that, whatever, black plastic, but they have the highest blood levels of these contaminants, these chemicals that are cancer causing.
I didn't know that. Throw away
the black patchula.
Right.
Spatula.
I've always said to my wife, why are we not using a metal one?
Right.
Why are we not using a wooden one? And by the way, so we had this ground turkey with rice and vegetables and garlic, this real healthy thing. And it was, we have enough leftovers that we could last for 2 weeks. And
turkey doesn't last 2 weeks.
I know it doesn't, but just the sheer volume of it, it's like a 7-pound drum sheet.
You know, I'm throwing that out in 3 days.
Yeah, I'm going to eat it in about two. So she's making it last, and I'm looking at all the utensils. I swear to God, Don, I go into the utensil drawer. Forks, knives, spoons, mixing. We have enough stuff for 13 households in the neighborhood. We got to throw it out. There's just too much of it.
You throw away any black plastic, just throw it away.
And then, of course,
the purge.
The black plastic one that she's using, she decides to use it to scoop the turkey and rice to serve it on the plates for me, Olivia, and Mia. And the spoon is this big. I said, get a big ladle. You know, it's going to take an hour for you to scoop that out. What are you doing?
Wow.
Don, you ought to see what goes on in my kitchen.
See, now, I will say this about my husband. He's wise enough to not critique me on the use of my serving spoon.
Now, truth be told,
Well, he likes being served.
If you're in the living room and you're watching TV, or you know, if I'm getting ready for work and I don't notice, I won't notice, I won't say anything. But I was starving last night, and I'm sitting there staring over her shoulder, and she's scooping it out, and it's like a bite per scoop. And I'm like, it's going to take her 9 minutes to fill my plate up.
Oh, my God.
Get the big one out. I don't, who cares?
Put your patience cap on.
Well, it's going to take up more space in the dishwasher. Who cares? That's what it's for.
He's letting... You've been waiting to get this out for 4 hours, haven't you?
Oh.
You're like, thank you, Dawn, for bringing this up.
You know, I might not know the difference between 100 and an octogenarian, but I know spoon sizes.
And I guess you're no little spoon. Wasn't that the SNL bit?
Oh, Jesus.
Nick, 2 years in an apartment, and now all of a sudden, right? You got to readjust, dude.
Yeah, I'm telling you. You think Kamala's good for cooking? You put Kale and Kamala in a kitchen for a cooking segment? That'll be a debate.
Oh, man.
I'm so glad I triggered that.
Oh.
The bottom line is throw away all those black spatula
yes,
things.
Point being, prevent cancer. Thank you.
Racist.
No, it's the plastic and the chemicals
right.
in it.
Okay.
That's Kale and Company, or Kale and, what do we say?
I don't
That's
know.
The big three.
That's the big three. Sounds good enough to me.
It's the big three, and we need a bigger spoon.
We're going to need a bigger spoon and a bigger boat. All right, coming up next, morning mystery movie clip time, followed by the big, a What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2 as we continue back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, and we need bigger spoons.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Politico puts some stuff out there, and, you know, they certainly are a left-leaning organization, but, you know, I don't know, 20-25% of the time they will point out the flaws of a Democrat, or, you know, point out where Trump is doing well. And I thought this was interesting because Pennsylvania, as we know, could determine the whole ball of wax. And the article from Politico is called Kamala Harris's Pennsylvania Problem. And they went to Scranton, Pennsylvania, which, you know, is Joe Biden's, you know, stronghold, so to speak. And they talk about how he was, you know, America's second Catholic president. Yeah, he comes from an Irish Catholic family. The famous line of him at that coffee shop where he says, I'm Joe Biden and I went to St. Paul's. And they talk about it. It's a long form story, but just a couple of highlights. They say the greeting, an echo of the old Catholic habit of identifying oneself by church parish, was Biden's homage to the parochial nature of Scranton, home to one of the nation's highest concentrations of white Catholics. Biden's local ties and his cultural roots helped lifted him to victory in 2020 in Lackawanna County. But now, as Democrats battle for the state with Kamala Harris as the nominee, their chances of winning in the region or performing well enough to carry the state are looking considerably dicier. It's not just the loss of Biden, an older white Catholic man with an affinity for the working class, from the top of the ticket that worries local Democrats. It's the cultural dissonance with Kamala Harris, a Californian, a woman of color who has spearheaded the party's post-Dobbs abortion messaging. And they go on to say that while Biden isn't wildly popular in Scranton, he is considered a native son, and he is viewed through a nostalgic lens. So I do think that's very interesting that, you know, in this, you know, reincarnation of the Democrat Party, with the obsession over identity politics, that it could be identity politics that's Kamala Harris's undoing in the most important swing state of all the battleground states. And, you know, I've been to Scranton maybe three or four times in my life. Certainly have driven past and through Scranton. I think I went to like a WWE wrestling event in Scranton once. I've been out to like Wilkes-Barre, you know, the King's College and that whole area. What is that, Ralph? Route 81 or whatever it is. But I've never really spent any time in Scranton. But if that is, I mean, if we think about, you know, generally speaking, you know, Philadelphia and Allegheny County are blue and everywhere in between is red. You have to look for little pockets. You know, I think Northampton County will be very interesting. Bellwether County, Bucks County for sure. But, you know, if we're talking like a tenth of a point, am I out of line, Dawn, by thinking that, you know, if Trump takes Lackawanna County or does much better than he did against Joe 4 years ago, that could be the deciding factor in the state if we're talking like a tenth of a point?
It could be, especially when you consider that there's not this energy or excitement, reportedly, here in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And so will people just, I don't know, just stay home or not be energized? That's the real question. So will you have people in some areas who are energized
mm-hmm.
for, let's say, Trump? Will that be offset by people in cities, in more yeah. metro urban areas where they're like, this, I'm not really excited about it. What have they done for me lately? You know, and mm-hmm. will we see that happening? And that's the big question.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania remains the mystery.
It does. And we know with the way Pennsylvania or Michigan or Wisconsin, the other two of the three, I call them the Big Ten swing states, they all typically fall in line, which leads us to this last little anecdote. I saw this from Axios. They had a scoop that said Democrat Rep Alyssa Slotkin of Michigan warns that Kamala Harris is underwater in the Wolverine state. That, according to internal polling for the Democrats, where she told donors last week, as she is fighting for a spot on the Senate, that according to their internal polls, and this is in a video clip obtained by Axios, that Harris is underwater in Michigan. Now, some of the polls show it's very close. I've seen Kamala as low as up 1 point in Michigan to being up 2 or 3 or 4 points. The 538 average polling has her up 2.4 points in Michigan. But the quote is, quote, "I'm not feeling my best right now about where we are as a party on Kamala Harris in a place like Michigan." And this was said in a virtual fundraiser last Wednesday on Zoom with Democrat from New Jersey, Senator Cory Booker. So if that is the case in Michigan, if what we just talked about with Kamala Harris in Scranton and Pennsylvania is an issue, again, it always comes back to the big take full circle. Think about this. What we played for you, that was, I believe it was Kay, I forget what her last name is, from BBC. She was in the clip I played for you from CNN where she said Democrats are looking at Pennsylvania right now like they do Ohio and Florida. Now, I'm not sure that I buy that. I certainly think Pennsylvania is much more winnable for a Democrat than it is Florida or Ohio. But with what they're hearing and what they're reporting, Kamala's not in great shape. And if you look at some of the polling, a lot of people have said, well, what's the advantage? Is it D plus seven? Is it D plus? You look at all the different crosstabs and all the different little factors that go into these polls. And one thing we know, in 2016 and 2020, Trump outperforms polls. So I think if you're looking for more good vibes, I think you might find them in Pennsylvania and in Michigan. Although Michigan, I really wouldn't worry about it. Take Carolina, take Georgia, take PA. Three of the seven, you get to 270.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Let's find out what's left over. It's What's on the Cut Sheet, part two.
What's on the cut sheet?
I do. So, Peter Ducey asked the White House press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, about the people in Western North Carolina who are drowning in their houses this weekend and President Biden being in at his Delaware beach home. This is kind of what Trump was alluding to when he spoke yesterday in Georgia. Peter Ducey at the White House press briefing yesterday. Cut 16, Philip. Go.
On Helene, people in Western North Carolina were drowning in their houses this weekend. Others were losing everything. President Biden was at his beach house, and Vice President Harris was hosting political fundraisers on the West Coast. Is there a reason that they could not be here?
The president did exactly what a president in this moment needs to do, which is directing his team to take action. One of the reasons that the FEMA administrator was here in this room on Thursday is the president wanted to make sure that we were sending a message out to folks who were going to be impacted by the hurricane, and also wanted her to share how we were pre-positioning on the ground. Remember, these are folks who do this type of stuff. When you think about FEMA, you think about the Red Cross, you think about the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. This is what they do. This is what they do. And so the president was on the phone. He said this when he was asked a question by one of your colleagues for more than 2 hours yesterday with governors and local elected officials, making sure that they had what they needed. You heard me talk about Governor Kemp and what he said to the president himself. He said this and shared this in a press conference that the president has provided and said, what else do you need? And he actually said to the president, we have what we need. So, and that's, as you know, a Republican governor. And look, and I talked about how the vice president also did her calls. She's going to be going to the FEMA agency in the center to get her briefing later this afternoon. The president is continuing to have these conversations with folks on the ground, elected officials on the ground, to make sure that they have what they need, and directing his team to keep pushing.
Yep, and we played you a clip of Kamala from FEMA in Washington. I watched we played that for you, by the way, in the cut sheet part one. I watched the entire 5 or 6 minutes that she spoke, and then she didn't answer any questions, and then she immediately walked back out to prepare for whatever that she needs, you know, days on end to prepare for. Yeah, it's like my wife getting ready for the night on the town with dinner. She's just preparing. Like, she's not like, are we ready to go yet? I'm still preparing. Okay, what are we preparing for? We've been together since the Civil War.
I think Nick had a bad night last night.
I know.
Dog, are you reading,
but you know what?
Reading through the lines here?
No, it was actually a great night. It was a beautiful night. Great dinner. Yeah, kids went to bed early. I sat back. It was a great night. No complaints. But you know what's amazing to me is Trump yesterday looked like the sitting president. Did he not? I mean, when you're in Georgia yesterday and you're there on the ground, you're not sitting at your desk like Joe was in the Oval Office or wherever the hell he was. You're not sitting on a flight jotting down notes on an empty sheet of paper like that stage photo op that Kamala tweeted out. And you're not doing a 5-minute scripted response where you're not taking questions. Like, if people want to take Kamala Harris seriously, did she come off serious and prepared yesterday? Donald Trump was on the ground in Georgia like he was finishing up his first term, like he's the acting sitting president. I'm sorry, you know, for an administration, and I said this earlier, for an administration hell-bent on optics, the optics favor Trump.
Trump, speaking of Trump, he was on the ground yesterday in Georgia. You know, we hear this, everybody talking, Biden said it, about Starlink being hooked up. And for people that don't know, that's all Elon Musk.
Yeah, they shut that down, right? Yeah.
This is cut 17, Phil, where he spoke to Starlink and speaking to Elon and because these towns and areas need places for ways for these residents to communicate. Cut 17, go.
People that do this for a living and do this at least to help, and they said they've never seen one this bad. Valdosta has been ravaged. The town is very, very badly hurting, and many thousands are without power. They're running low on food and fuel. We brought a lot of it down with us. It's going to be distributed now or soon throughout Georgia, as well as North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, Virginia, Alabama, and Tennessee. That's our big one. And the devastation wrought by this storm is incredible. It's so extensive. Nobody thought this would be happening, especially now it's so late in the season for the hurricanes. Homes, hospitals, highways, and cars have been plunged underwater. Entire neighborhoods have been turned into lakes. Nobody's seen anything like it. And to every family that's been displaced here in Georgia and North Carolina, which has really been hit, we were going there also, and they don't have communication. They don't have anything right now. there. We're trying to. I just spoke to Elon. I'm getting him. We want to get Starlink hooked up because they have no communication whatsoever. And Elon will always come through. We know that.
You know, I said this yesterday, but it's worth repeating again. You talk about communication. This is why paying attention to that story about saving AM radios, especially in cars, is super critical.
Yep. Yes.
Because in situations like this, the AM radio comes in handy.
There's a CNN story, and don't poo-poo it. There's a CNN story about the importance of AM right now in North Carolina because people are calling in. They're being able to communicate with loved ones. They're being able to say, hey, you know, drop off for this here. It's literally a lifeline. This AM station in Charlotte, North Carolina, is literally a lifeline for these residents to call in and kind of talk about what's happening, what's on the ground in the community. Thank you, Nikhail, for saying that. Yeah. That is the importance of what we do, and God bless that station for doing what they're doing.
Yes. And the octogenarian references are just a bonus.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, we'll get to your voicemails today in music history and what is on tap for the Dawn Show. It's all still ahead.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Live on a Tuesday morning, the Dawn Show is coming up in just about 9 minutes. We'll find out what she has lined up momentarily. But before that, what occurred today in music history? Well, let's find out.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history on Kale and Company.
Today, Tuesday, October 1st. So last night at the Sellersville Theater, Mike Tramp of White Lion was there. What a great show that was. Of course, I was there. Here's a short clip. Wow.
Look at that.
So Saturday, I was at the Stevie Nicks show in Hershey. It was, of course, the makeup show. From June 15th, another tremendous show. And yes, I do like to have a social life. Both shows kept my 14-year streak going of seeing shows better than the garbage the NFL has turned out during the halftime of Super Bowls since 2010.
Yeah.
Yes, the last time there was a good Super Bowl halftime show was The Who in Miami. The reason? Rock trumps all. Now, back to the Stevie Nicks show a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's about 45 seconds of Edge of 17.
Let's go to the
from Saturday night in Hershey.
Nice. Background things there too.
Guy's doing his own punchy right
I like it. She still sounds great, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Love her. I'm so jealous.
For Kale Company, I'm Phil Lomquist.
Look amazing. At that.
Phil, just like sometimes like the big take, you let the audio do the speaking, right?
Love it.
Nice
love
work
it.
Out of you, Philip. All yeah. right. Let's find out what's on tap at the...
he's tired, Dawn.
He's tired. He was having the fight with the wife over the spoon.
And... Damn spoons, Dawn. Those damn spoons. See him in my sleep. What do you got lined up?
Hey, we have a lot developing, so we're going to update you on all the breaking news story real quick off the top. And then we're going to get to Stacey Garrity. So she is Pennsylvania's treasurer. She just got this is a huge job, one of the big three in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, up for re-election. Why Governor Josh Shapiro just gave her a huge boost.
Mm.
So you'll hear from her. We will talk to Carolyn Leavitt, one of my favorite spokespeople for the Trump campaign. So she'll talk about all things Trump as far as him in Georgia yesterday, where he's campaigning next, and upcoming Butler PA on Saturday, but as well getting a preview of tonight's Veep debate. All of that and so much more. A new tick-borne disease
Uh-oh.
Right here in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. I'll tell you about that. We got some great health news as well.
All right, Dawn Show coming up top of the hour. Everybody have a great rest of your Tuesday. Enjoy the debate tonight. You can hear it on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT at 9 o'clock, and we will break it all down for you tomorrow at 6 a.m.
Good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.